Donalena Kitchen talks about food. Donalena Kitchen talks recipes. Donalena Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalena Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I am Donna Prisgintas.
We're here in the KHOI studios again, and we've got a sweet, sweet treat for all of you today. This is the time of year I really enjoy. The summer garden is winding down.
You enjoy every time of year.
I do. But the summer garden is winding down, a little less work. And we've had a touch of frost here in central Iowa. So my mind has been turned to the magic of preserving. We're going to be talking about jams and jellies today with special guest Beth Kemp. She's a farmer, florist, and food enthusiast. She also has a great sense of fun in the kitchen. She runs Jumping Bean Farm, and you can find her at Ames Main Street Farmers Market. Welcome, Beth.
Ah, thank you. I'm really thrilled to be here. Thanks, Lana.
Good. Well, we're going to be talking about jams and jellies today, but that brings to mind all those other words we often hear. There's jam, jelly, preserves, conserves, marmalades, fruit butters, confitures, chutneys, sweet relish, all that good sweet stuff in jars. So, Donna, Beth, what's the difference between all of this stuff?
Well, there are culinary distinctions for all of these. Jelly, which is the most obvious one, is clear. And Lana is a very good jelly maker. Mostly you make jams,
yep,
don't you? And
I do too.
Mm-hmm. So Lana's going to have to tell us about jellies. And then marmalades are usually citrus, don't you think? And they have peel in it.
Yes. They've got the stronger flavors. Yeah.
And we always use all three of us make marmalades. Love
right.
The marmalades.
I found a little note that marmalade is a French term. It doesn't necessarily mean citrus, but that's the general use of it.
Certainly the English means
yes,
citrus,
of course,
when they make
citrus.
A marmalade.
But marmalade is just a French word for it's boiled down for a whole long time until it's mm-hmm. gooey. That's the translation, I believe.
Well, and then there's butters. The most famous one, of course, is apple butter, which that, to me, is the boiled down. But it doesn't have chunks in it, so we'll talk about those. And those, I think, are the main distinctions.
Well, then there's chutneys and sweet relishes, which have other things in them, like vinegars and whatever.
And usually something savory, like an onion or
savories, yes.
Basil,
yep.
And, of course, we're kind of loose with these definitions here in our flavor. I think one thing that kind of we all three do a lot in our jam, jelly, confiture making is we really cross the genres and mix the flavors up.
Mm. Yes. So, Beth, what inspires you in your jam making?
I mean, when you look around at all the other foods we eat, I feel like that is what inspires me. Like I was telling Donna when I first got invited on the show that one of my best-selling jams at the farmer's market is a strawberry balsamic jam with black pepper. And that came about because my parents always tell the same story about their honeymoon that they took to Germany, that they got served white asparagus, and they'd never heard of that. And then after that, they got served fresh strawberries in a bowl with reduced balsamic vinegar and mm-hmm. black pepper cracked on top.
Mm-hmm. It's a classic.
Yeah, and so that became sort of, oh, well, if that works in a bowl, it would work in a jam. And people love it. It's so good.
Speaking of Germany, my first experience in Germany, which was probably about the same time as Beth's parents were getting married, was for breakfast, the Germans, a long time ago, and now more people do it, they serve bread, not with butter, but bread and cheese and jams for breakfast.
In Holland, I had bread with butter and chocolate sprinkles. Best breakfast ever.
I love that.
So good.
Oh, actually, way back a couple of years ago, believe it or not, there's a recipe for a banana chocolate jam.
Huh.
Weird.
That is weird.
I can't even imagine it. How would you do it?
It's more like the kind of thing you'd put on.
Is it like Nutella or something?
Yeah,
kind
more like the thing you'd put on ice cream, I think. But mm-hmm. there it was. I think it was in.
Yeah, I've seen a recipe for monkey jam, which is banana jam. going around the internet. I don't know.
See, as venturesome as we are, here we are kind of snarling up our noses at it. Snarling up our noses. How long have you been making jams?
Since I first started farming, so 5 to 6 years.
Yeah. Beth is a youngin', but she's prodigious already.
And your farm is called Jumping Bean Farm. Where's your farm?
My farm is northeast of Nevada, Iowa. So it's where I grew up, actually. It's my parents' homestead, their property. And so we've just kind of cordoned off two big gardens. So it seems a little pretentious to me to call it a farm. It's really just my family's garden that's gotten out of control.
But you do have a hoop house.
I do have a hoop house. So I guess that makes it a farm. No, it's a farm because I work at like a farm. So
one of the things that both Lana and Beth are notable for are their flavor combinations. So, mm-hmm. Beth, just reel off some of the flavor combinations that you sell at the farmer's market. And then, Lana, you do likewise.
It changes every year, and I do keep a few going. But blackberry jalapeno is a great one. I do a lot of hot jams. Habanero apricot is fabulous. Prosecco peach. That's a great one to make at home. Anybody can make that. Strawberry, aronia, gooseberry, raspberry. I call that my all Iowa berry jam.
Oh, I think anybody that uses aronia berries is very brave.
Oh, they're so good. They add like almost like a wine flavor. They're great. People don't even know that they love aronia berries.
And I would be one of them, right? I'll try it.
I do an onion basil apple. I do a caramel apple. I do an orange creamsicle. That one was inspired, actually, by the martini menu at London Underground. They have an orange creamsicle martini.
And what do you put in your orange creamsicle jam?
So it's orange juice and then vanilla beans and then vanilla rum. A little bit of alcohol goes a long way. Really perks the flavors up. Uh-huh. And it tastes creamy. Like when you taste it, you think
vanilla will do that. Yeah. It's wonderful.
A lot of vanilla beans.
Wow. So.
And then when I'm done with those vanilla beans and I put it in the rum bottle, and then it becomes the
vanilla rum.
Mm-hmm. And then when we were talking about marmalades, I was remembering my kumquat marmalade that I also put vanilla in. I like the vanilla with the citrus flavors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've never tried that.
Such a good
It's a classic.
Oh, it sounds good.
So good.
You know that Fiore di Titilia, that flavoring that I use?
Oh, in a little vial that looks
smells like perfume.
It's from King Arthur. Mm-hmm. You can order it on their catalog. I'm sure it's citrus essence, oils, and vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
They just do something magical.
Oh. You mentioned hot things. Do you grow the peppers that you put in?
I used to, but I've become friends with the inspector at the farmer's market, and he told me that is not okay. But we can use dried peppers, but you need to purchase them. So you need to have – I have to bring my receipt for the dry – I know, it's so silly.
You need to purchase them?
Yes. They do not want me to dry my own peppers and then put them in the jam. I think they want proof that someone else in a factory dried them? I don't know.
And these are dried peppers.
So dried peppers, yes. So I buy them at Penzies, and they have really great quality peppers and all sorts of different kinds. Mm-hmm. Donna turned me on to the Aleppo pepper.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorites. And the Penzi one is very, it's not too dried out. It's really good.
Exactly.
It's
still
got a lot of oils in it.
You got to really get the good dried peppers. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've switched to. And I used to make a carrot cake jam that was so popular, and they said no vegetables. They consider that a processed food, and I'd have to get a processing kitchen.
Mm-hmm. I've run across that too. Mm-hmm. Although it is called hot pepper jelly, and I love it, and I make it at home, I am not allowed to sell hot pepper jelly. Peppers are supposedly a vegetable, although it's fruit,
tomatoes.
Same thing.
So you can't sell tomato jam either?
No.
Fussy.
I know.
Yeah.
Wow. And the silly – I shouldn't get too deep into this, but the inspector barely knew the rules. I had to really pursue. I had to email and call. I had to pursue this to be like, no, I need to make pepper jelly. They'll be knocking down my door if I don't. So
you don't sell pepper jelly?
No, I sell the pepper jelly only made with the dried peppers.
Okay.
Because he
okay.
said that is fine. And then if anyone asks, I have to be able to show them a receipt.
Basically.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All
and
right.
they told me that you can do herbs, but it has to be less than 10%. There's so many rules about selling.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm
glad they're keeping everyone safe.
Right. And there is a separate. Jams and jellies fall under a separate category for farmers markets. Mm-hmm. It's not like an inspected kitchen, but there is we can talk about
there's
that.
There's legislation, yes.
There of course there's legislation. That's fine. All right, here's some now if those taste combinations didn't tickle your funny bone, here's some of the stuff that I've been experimenting with. These are jams. Jams are chunky stuff. Rhubarb orange.
Oh, love that one.
Mm-hmm. Iowa apricot
with honey. I put the Fiore di Sicilia
in that,
was like knock your socks off with cheddar cheese.
With cheese. Iowa apricot with honey. Wild plum crazy and plum crazy. I call it crazy because whenever plum season is in, other stone fruits are there on my counter ripening, and I put in whatever stone fruit goes with the plums. Mainly plums, but there's always some other stuff in there. So wild plum and regular plum. Then ground cherry, I've done a really good pear balsamic spice. And I'm playing around with some onion marmalade. We'll talk about that later. And jellies. This year, I'm knee-deep in wild plum, basil, grape. Actually, two kinds of grape, wild and domestic. Crabby elderberry, crab apple and elderberry. Wild plum with basil. And I made a few experimental forays into a sour cherry jam and a sour cherry with currant. I always like to fuss with new things. So I don't know whether it's the taste, the names, or how this stuff looks on the shelf. It sure is pretty.
Well, Alana, since you're the jelly maker, you want to tell us, for example, how you make your basil, apple basil jelly?
All right, here's some basic stuff. There's a lot of ways to do this, but if you're new at jelly making, I'd suggest finding a box of pectin, as in Sure Gel, or one of those on the shelf. There's always instructions inside. Follow that. Do it fine. Pectin is not anything to be afraid of.
There's so many different kinds. It gets so confusing
right.
at the store.
And I'm finding each one acts a little differently, and I have to get my timing right. But if you follow exactly what the pectin jar tells you, you're pretty good. I'm notorious for not doing that. A little bit more, some more.
Mm-hmm.
Measure, Lana. Measure. Listen, measure.
Do you use Pomona's?
No, I will start experimenting with that this winter, but I use the low sugar ball. I see a jar of it here on the table.
Oh,
but
you
I use
that
the low
too.
Sugar. Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. That's the classic. So that's the one where it needs a certain amount of sugar to gel.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I use, the low sugar, mm-hmm. takes it actually gels with the calcium mm-hmm. in the fruit.
Ah,
so you mm-hmm. don't need as much sugar mm-hmm. as with mm-hmm. other jam recipes. And I mm-hmm. find that really makes all the difference. You use mm-hmm. good fruit, and you don't kill it with sugar, mm-hmm. and you're going to get a good product.
Oh, yeah. I have to say, I think the number one rule with jams or jellies is not to over... Mm-hmm. You want to get the flavor, not just the sweetness.
Exactly.
So back the sugar off. And use more fruit. That's what really makes a quality mm-hmm. product.
And that is one of the reasons for pectin. If you didn't use pectin, and if you want something to gel, which helps in the preserving process, you have to boil the dickens out of it. Boil, which affects the flavor and affects the color. And so that's why pectin is added. Pectin is a naturally occurring substance. It's called a polysaccharide. It's found naturally in berries, apples, and some other fruit. And it works with
mostly
sugar.
In the skin, right?
Yeah.
The apples,
yep.
for example?
As I understand it, I have made a natural pectin out of green apples. Green apples are thick in this stuff,
mm-hmm.
so you can use green apples as a thickening agent. effectively. I looked this up. You know, I want to sound like I made this up, but no, I got this from Wikipedia.
Right. This is science, guys.
Pectin's structure binds with water in an acid environment. Sugar increases pectin's ability to gel and affects texture and consistency of jellies and jams as they cool and set. Note, sugar is not the key to the preservation of the jam. A sterile environment and acidity are more important. That's another thing we're going to talk about. Sterile environment. Learn to deal with hot things. So, to make almost any jelly, let's just talk
this
about
this is not jam. This is jelly.
The clear stuff. One needs to extract juice from whatever, berry, apple, whatever. You would boil, steam the apples, the fruit, the apricots, the plums, whatever, in a pan of water. Not too much. You don't need to cover it all away. Until everything is soft, the water and the juices are leaving the fruit. Put them in a jelly bag. Drip that jelly bag overnight. Collect the juice. Then you go on to your recipe.
Well, let's talk about what a jelly bag is, what dripping a jelly bag is. You know,
all right.
Get graphic here.
All right. This is like alchemy, folks. You've got this big pot of glop on your stove. It's hot. It's steaming. Turn it off. Let it cool off a little bit. What I do is I get a jelly bag, which is a good quality cheesecloth, and you can find it in
the... I double them. Is it really a bag or it's just
no,
flat?
No, I just have a flat piece of cheesecloth, drape it over a big soup pot, actually, on my floor. On a rug on my floor.
Yes, on the floor, folks.
Because you're dealing
with
this hot big
it's
thing.
It's really hot. Yes. It bubbles, it burns.
Pour it in there. If you have another pair of hands to keep things from slopping all over, that's fine. Gather up the cheesecloth, tie it off, make a bag, hold it up, tie it off. Then I suspend a broom handle across the back of two chairs, tie it off on that broom handle, and it goes drip, 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 drip. Overnight, it goes off.
How come you don't do it in a colander? Why the bag, the broom handle?
In my experience, because I've tried little bunches in colanders, the colander holds the jelly to fruit.
The gravity doesn't pull as much.
You want the weight of all the glop to push against the bag, and it really does pretty much drip well.
And it's the right weight, because if you push too hard on the bag, your jelly will be cloudy.
Right.
So, and I have a French jelly cloth that's made out of linen. So it's kind of like it's about the size of it's bigger than a tea towel and smaller than a barn. But it's linen, and it will last forever. And it's not a terribly loose weave, but I do the same thing that you do. I put it in something, pour the fruit into it, tie it up, and then there's all kinds of ways you can create to suspend it so that it drips. And overnight is about what it takes.
Mm-hmm. And you can definitely reuse your jelly bags. There are bags, too. But I don't know about you too, but I never, ever use soap on the jelly bag because...
Oh, I don't either. I just...
Hot water.
Or sometimes I even boil it in the hot water pan if it gets really grumpy.
Fussy. Mm-hmm. You don't want any chance of soap
taste. You don't want residue in your jelly bag.
So the next day, or whenever this juice is ready, I take 7 cups of that juice.
And you don't squeeze the jelly bag.
Don't squeeze it.
Right.
Because you want to have it nice and clear.
Right.
7 cups of juice. And then I put 9 cups of sugar. This is the recipe out of the sure gel. This is just regular sure gel, but the proportions would change if I was doing
7 cups
sugar.
Of the juice that's dripped through the jelly bag. Right.
And I put the sugar in another container ready to go. Bring that cup of 7 cups of juice to a boil. You can just make apple jelly out of this.
When do you add the pectin? Is it later or is it now?
It's now.
Okay.
As you're bringing that to a boil, I sprinkle the pectin on the surface. Think of making jello.
Stir it in.
Then that has to come to a boil. Then you add the sugar. Bring that to a boil again. Learn what a full boil is. Mm-hmm. It has to be a full boil. And then after it comes to full boil, you can it. Now,
you want to visually describe a full boil for us?
I've been told that a full boil is when you stir with a spoon and the bubbles do not go away.
Ding,
so,
ding, ding.
Yeah.
That's
they,
it.
They keep coming. Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
Now, before this, to infuse an apple jelly, which is what my basil jelly is, with basil, or I've done it with mint, I've done it with sage, mm-hmm. I've done it with rosemary. You can infuse.
Good.
You can infuse things before you put in the pectin. It's like you're making basil tea. Simmer, 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 put the basil in
there.
So
then you're
simmer.
Leaving the basil bits in the jelly, floating in the clear
no,
jelly?
No, I've tried to do that, and it looks... Although it may look romantically neat, I think it looks kind of icky by the time the jelly... So I strain all that stuff out and then add the pectin, do the jelly
So you're
process.
Not putting the basil in before it drips through the jelly bag?
No.
Ah,
no.
Comes in later.
Yeah. I kind of... Then I can see how much
it is. This
is
complicated, folks.
Yeah, it is. It mm-hmm. is, but it's fun.
It sounds more complicated than it is, I think.
Once
you get started, it makes perfect sense.
And also, this is a long-term thing. Be patient. You mm-hmm. could have something else going on in your life mm-hmm. as you're doing this. Just be mindful of what's on the stove and learn how to deal with hot things. Why mm-hmm. don't you talk about jams and
into
the jelly process and how you can these little suckers once you get them.
So once you're to the point where you've added the pectin, you've added the sugar, you've brought it back up to a boil.
No, wait, now we're back to
conserves,
marmalades, preserves.
Oh, you want me to do jam or
jams.
Oh, okay. I thought you wanted to talk about the preserving.
Then we'll get into preserving. Back up into jams a little bit because Beth is going to talk about keeping all the chunks together, not mm-hmm. just the juice. Go for it.
So that's
Beth.
Jam, basically.
Go for it.
My technique may be this is pretty self-taught, but I find it works really well if I start with frozen fruit. So my technique is in the summer, I gather as much fruit as I can and I freeze it. And I just freeze it in freezer bags, label it. I mean, who's got time to make... I don't have time to make jam when the blackberries are coming. I've got a million other things to do. So
you don't blanch or anything?
No. No, I just freeze them.
What do you do with the peach, for example?
I would just cut it into quarters, and I would lay it on a pan in my freezer, let it freeze solid.
Oh, in pieces. Okay.
Yeah, in pieces. Yeah, mm-hmm. the smaller the pieces, the faster it'll freeze.
Peel on or peel off?
Peel on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm a big peel-on person.
Okay.
I hate to peel things.
It's so time-consuming.
Yeah. I'm just not that fussy. So that I would take out, say, my frozen peaches out of the freezer. And this can be in January. That's my favorite time to make jam, is in the winter. It's nice.
Jamuary.
Jamuary. Well done, Lana. I take the frozen peaches and I thaw them out and I'll put them in the pot. And with the low sugar pectin, the pectin actually goes in while the fruit is room temperature or cold. It doesn't go in while it's hot. So I measure out my fruit, I measure out my pectin, I stir it together, and then you bring that to a boil. And then it's pretty much the same process. And I add the sugar. So when the fruit is frozen, it breaks down. It breaks down
yes, that's
better.
A good idea.
The other thing you can do is use a potato masher. I use my potato masher a lot because it gives it sort of a rough, like rustic kind of mash. You need to do something so you don't have just giant pieces of fruit floating in the sugar solution because that is no good on toast. That's really hard to deal with if you have, you know, a quarter piece of peach sitting on your toast. So you need to do something to break it down, but you do not want to use a food processor or a blender mm-hmm. because that actually decreases the pectin in the fruit. It breaks it down. And we want the pectin to help it gel and give it that beautiful texture that you want in jam. Is that a good explanation?
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
How do you deal with your chunks, Donna?
Well, I do a completely different method, but of course I'm not selling mine in jars and mm-hmm. canning them off. I'm a big freezer person.
Mm-hmm. Freezer jam.
Even
good invention.
Even if I make it all the way through to the jam process, I put it in baggies and throw it in the freezer mm-hmm. just because I too lazy to can it. I mean, I used to do it. I used to even do the, does anybody do the wax on the top anymore? I used to do that.
Oh, I haven't. No, I haven't done that in ages.
You know, it's paraffin. So
paraffin,
it's a,
yeah.
It's a petroleum product, so I stopped doing it. But that was, someday I want to try it with beeswax on the top. But that's a good storage method. But what I do is, when it's in season and there's lots of it, whether it's apples or berries or, I do currants a lot because I love black currants. And I just put them in a thick bottom pan, boil them down till they're cooked, which often isn't very long. And then I have a thing that was my mother's. Now, I don't know whether we call it a ricer or a food mill or a, but it's a big metal conical thing that has a stand, and then it has a wooden mallet that fits in it that rolls around and presses all of the stuff that you want in the jam through. I like it because you can use the apples. You don't have to cut the seeds out or anything. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, then you just throw away what's left inside the cone. And then either I will then put that back in and sweeten it, or else sometimes I just freeze it up and, like you, make it later. But I usually put it through that process when it's still in season. I do it with elderberries. We didn't have any this year, but that's kind of how. And I don't use pectin. I'm really lazy about that. Mm-hmm. One of my cheap trick, guys, is if it's not thick enough and I want it for some dinner or something, I put a little cornstarch in it.
So you're making a jam pudding.
Kind of. Yeah, that's what I use as a thickener.
Sure. Now, because it's for immediate consumption.
Yeah. It'll keep in the fridge long enough to eat the jar. You know, I mean, a couple of weeks or something. But it's really fast. It's really easy. And also when I'm making my fruit purees, really, which is what they are, I will season them like at the time. Like if I'm going to freeze plums with rose geranium, I will season them all together in the pot, put them through the food mill, put them into the bag, label a date, and then stick them in the freezer.
And nothing worse than a mystery bag in your freezer.
Oh, yes. We'll take a little bit of music for our ears here. We're back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. That was a jig by fiddler Kieran Fay. Today we're talking about jams and jelly with Beth Kemp. This is KHOI Radio 89.1. We get together to do this every Tuesday. You can catch our show Tuesday at noon. We're live, folks. We're live Tuesday at noon. And you can hear us again 7 o'clock in the evening. And now KHOI is streaming live, and you can go to the KHOI website and get archives of past shows, recipes, and a great picture of Donna and I, too. So visit the KHOI radio website. That's khoiradio.org. But we're back talking about jams and jelly. We're talking about how to get that stuff cooked down. Now we're going to talk about how to get it in jars. How do you do that, Beth?
My favorite method of late is to actually put it into a larger Pyrex measuring cup, the kind with a really nice
pour spout.
Lip. Yeah, pour spout.
Mm.
I feel it, and I like to lay towels all over my counters because it can get a little splashy.
And what do you boil your jars in?
So I boil my jars in the same
one of those big old
canners.
Canning pots,
correct?
The big black speckled.
Yep.
Blah,
the
blah.
Other thing that I've learned is that I can run my jars through my dishwasher on the sterilize setting, and they come out piping hot and sterilized. So I'll do that. I'll run that while I'm doing the jam, and then I can just pull the rack out. Because I mean, when I make a lot of jam at once, I can go through quite a few jars. Uh-huh. I can do 3 dozen, 4 dozen jars easily in an afternoon. And that's fun. That's fun to do with a little team too. It's fun to do with a friend.
It's a community
it
activity.
Extra
yeah.
pair of hands is very good.
Yes.
Because I don't have a dishwasher, so mm-hmm. I boil the jars on the stove in a separate pan.
Before I
fill them. So I've gotten to be real good with a pair of tongs and just stay out of my way. I know how to go from hot water to over here and then grab the lids and over the top and fill. And
you are a great dancer.
Oh, Lana. Yeah, it's a jelly dance. It's a jelly dance. And I don't use a measuring cup. I just have a big headed or big mouthed funnel.
And oh, I could not live without that big funnel thing.
Made to fit into little
really,
jars.
Really, really helpful.
It is very
so
helpful.
There's lots of really nice kitchen technology. We talked about the jelly bags. There's also things that you boil in. It's a long, long boil, no matter what fruit you're cooking down. What sort of pan do you boil your fruit down in or boil your jelly down
in? I have a large stainless steel soup pot that I use. I've also used, I have a large Le Creuset pan. I don't use that one as much because it's very heavy, so it's really difficult to lift if it's full of jam.
If it's full and it's hot, I find the same thing with that.
So frustrating to try to heft it off the stove. So the soup pan that I have is much lighter, and if I'm worried about things burning because with a high sugar content,
right, you need
you're
a heavy
boiling,
bottom pan.
Yes. So I set mine inside of my cast iron pan, and I'm lucky that my soup pan fits perfectly into my cast iron pan. So my cast iron pan kind of acts to buffer the heat.
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I use one of those old-fashioned flame tamer things that you sit right on the flame and then you put the pan on top. And Lana has the real deal.
I treated myself, folks. I ran across this in a recipe book of French jams and jellies ages ago, and I thought, well, I deserve a Christmas present. So I went out and bought a Maslin pan.
Spell it.
Maslin. Maslin. Maslin pan is a heavy, heavy-bottomed pan with sides that slope out slightly. So
you get better evaporation.
It's made to evaporate, very heavy on the bottom. I think it holds like 9 quarts, but you're never going to fill it that full. But 9 quarts if you're going to fill it with water. But other little fun features that this has is a very handy, very strong handle. Like Beth says, this stuff is hot, this stuff is heavy. It has a handle on the top, like
it
a pail handle.
It has a double handle.
And then it's got a handle on one side that you can tip, and it's got a very sweet little spout on the thing.
Yeah, just looking at it, to me, it almost looks like an old-fashioned milking pail.
Yeah,
it's
stainless
steel. I can see how it's just perfectly shaped so that the jam will work perfectly in it.
Yeah, it's specifically for jam and jelly making, and I think Beth and I are probably going to agitate to get our own.
It's not. We should rent it out or something. So a Maslin pen. And I found this in a cook's catalog. They're sort of rare, but you can find them. Maslin, Maslin, for jellies. And traditionally in Europe, I believe they're made out of copper.
Yeah, and they're specifically a jam and jelly pan.
Right.
For cooking. Yeah, and they're gorgeous, but go for the stainless steel, folks.
Stainless
copper
steel
is high maintenance and extremely expensive. And these cost, I don't know, $80 or $90 mm-hmm. just for the stain. Now, I was looking on the internet for some. And be sure if you're going to get one to make sure it's got a little spout. Some of them don't have a
uh-huh.
spout.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to invest, the spout is really important. And I think the handle across from the spout that gives you more leverage when you're pouring is probably also really, really good. And I would say the 9-quart is the optimal size.
Yes, yes, because if you have never done this before, surprise, as you boil things that have sugar in them, or as you boil anything, it's going to rise. It's going to fill that pan.
Mm-hmm.
It'll surprise you. Give it room. Give it room. Yes. Let's talk about some of this good stuff that we brought here.
Oh, we've got
Beth, a pile of jam in front of us.
We actually all brought some tasties.
So I brought just a few things that have been good sellers for me at the farmer's market. I brought a strawberry ginger grape jam.
Whoa.
So the strawberries are from Berry Patch in Nevada, and the ginger, I don't know where the ginger's from, and then the grapes are from Prairie Moon Winery. So I actually, what I did
is... Oh, so these are one of their wine grapes. And
exactly,
do you know
yes.
which variety?
I believe it was Mars,
oh.
which is a good one.
Those but should be coming into the market.
Very soon,
usually
yes.
they sell them at Wheatfield.
And this
I'm
is not
a
particularly sweet jam. This is one.
Oh, my goodness.
I love how the flavors really come out. Yeah.
The strawberry hits you first, and then it kind of goes on to the
yes.
grape and on. Oh.
Much nicer. Strawberry
brilliant.
Strawberry is not really my favorite, but that mixed with other things.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
I agree.
That's
yeah, the strawberry as alone is kind of a one-note kind
mm-hmm,
of thing, and
mm-hmm.
That's why I like to add the other things like balsamic vinegar or the pepper. If you kind of think three notes.
Strawberry is where
three
I put
notes.
My rose geranium that works
oh,
so well.
Gosh, yep. Rose geranium mm-hmm. is the best flavor.
Okay. That's delicious, Beth.
So then I have an apple butter. I don't know if you want to. This is just very, maybe we can taste that later. I'm going to slam that down. And I also have, this is spicy. This is maybe a little spicy for tasting plain, but I brought it anyway.
What is it?
This is tart cherries with apple juice and jalapenos.
Ooh.
This
oh.
one is great with cheese. I love
oh.
it. I love it on grilled cheese sandwiches. It is spicy, very spicy. So
yeah, it's hot.
It's hot. Yes.
Oh, I can see the grilled cheese sandwich bit.
Yeah.
Oh, how nice.
It acts as a nice relish. These mm-hmm. cherries are actually from my front yard. We moved into a house downtown that has a cherry tree.
Oh, you have a cherry tree?
Yes. I love
oh.
it.
Oh.
And when we were first looking at the house, it had the cherries were set, and I was picking the cherries before we even had our offer
That's how
accepted.
You knew that
exactly.
was the house to get, right.
Exactly. Oh, and then now we have the orange marmalade that this is Lana's, right?
No,
go ahead.
Oh, this is Lana and I both brought different onion jams.
Yeah.
So try this one.
Loved it.
This one is onion basil. Well, actually, this is a a cooperative effort. I took Lana's basil apple jelly and some of your plum crazy, and then I sauteed. This was something I wanted on a cheese board.
Oh,
so
good.
I put more basil and onions in the apple jelly.
Mm-hmm. It just, I can see it perfectly with brie, or one of those soft cheeses.
Well, I actually, that would be good. Mm-hmm. I set it up for the Prairie Breeze cheddar.
Uh-huh.
I love apples and
so
cheddar.
Good.
Mm-hmm. So, see, this is one of those you can't sell it at farmer's market sort
right.
of things. This, because onion is a vegetable. But here's something that I ran across in a
All right, now
English,
I'm going to try
English
this is
book Lana's of preserves.
Jam.
The book is called River Cottage Handbook Number 2, Preserves by Pam Corbin. And there's a onion marmalade in there. That also has got some apple jelly, a little bit, but it's got a ton
I don't know,
of
makes me ready for Thanksgiving
onions,
already.
Yeah. The onions, you cook down this huge pan of onions to not many jars. So all it really is onions. And a little bit of sugar. It's got some balsamic vinegar in it. Yeah, that's it.
Did you put basil in yours?
Nope. So it's onions cooked down. And I like the little note on the recipe page here. Long, slow cooking turns a pan full of onions into a fantastic rich sauce that's brilliant, served with bangers and mash.
Oh, I can see that. Yes.
And a heap of other dishes, too. Try it with cheese on toast,
uh-huh.
with cold meat in sandwiches, or stir a spoonful into a creamy pumpkin soup. I think that sounds pretty good. I never thought of putting something like that in a pumpkin soup, but or any kind of squash soup, or that
the caramelized onions just speak to you, and then it's the slow sweetness from the onions and from the fruit. Love it, so
great,
good.
Great. And this is not; these are not chutneys. Chutneys tend to be a little more
vinegary,
more pickly, which are lovely. They have their place. It's good.
I don't know. I would find it hard to resist putting the basil in that onion jelly, though.
I could see thyme being a great addition.
Thyme and apples that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got a pile of onions. I just may keep on experimenting here.
we could have multiple flavors here.
That
there's
sounds
no
very
doubt
good.
About it. And that's the fun of jelly making. If there's any takeaway from today, folks, there are two things. Keep the sugar lower so it's very fruit forward, and invent, create, do it any way that you think is a little bit out of the ordinary, and make your own signature creations.
And you don't have to can these. That's the thing that people don't tell you is you can put this in the freezer. Mm-hmm. You can make your jam, put it in a jar, put the lid on, put it in the freezer.
But now wait, if you put it in the freezer with the lid on, you have to leave room for it to
expand. Are so right.
Like I will put mine in and let them freeze, and once they're frozen I'll put the lid on because
good.
I have burst a few jars in the freezer. And then you have to throw it all out because of glass.
Funny about how that
freezing.
Yeah,
right.
that all that science stuff.
Freezing
just
expands.
Just
I think I learned that in eighth grade biology or something. Heat contracts and freezing expands.
Good.
Don't forget that.
Good. I have a little news item here. I met my friend Marilyn Ayersman at the Ames Public Library grand opening this past weekend.
Yay! Our library's
back! The library's
Woo-hoo!
Back. The library's back. And she is the co-founder and director of the Iowa Wildlife Center. She does wildlife rehabilitation and conservation education sort of things. She takes care of all sorts of wild animals that come to her. You know,
injured.
Yeah, eagles and foxes and heaven knows what. And she said, I had my most unusual sort of animal rescue this weekend, and it looks like the little feller's going to be fine. She said, a hummingbird.
Aww.
Somebody brought me a hummingbird. And this is related to the topic today because the hummingbird was done in by jelly.
What?
Get this. People put, especially this time of year, start putting out halved, scooped out orange.
Oh, for the orange
attracts.
With jelly in them. And hummingbirds love it, and orioles love it too. But it's been so cold that the jelly was really stiff. And this poor little sucker got right in there, and this hummingbird got stuck in the jelly, and it was actually in not very good shape because it couldn't get loose. And hummingbirds need to eat a lot,
and
I was so probably sick of jelly by then. So she said, I didn't quite know what to do. I got out my mascara brush and brushed the little guy
How
off.
Smart.
Yeah. So and it was kept warm for a day or two because it had to. Anyway, success. So, but this is a word of caution. Use your jelly with caution out there. It can be very dangerous to certain things out there. So that's the Marilyn Ayersman hummingbird jelly story. That's fine. So,
that is darling.
Beth, you always have good adventures. Tell us about, you had a really good adventure a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
You went to something called the Burning Man, and I've heard about the Burning Man Festival. I've never known a real-life person that's gone there. So tell us about that.
I went, and I came back, and I've got all my fingers and toes, so it's perfectly safe, folks. So Burning Man Festival happens in Black Rock Desert in the middle of Nevada. It is so difficult to explain.
It's 70,000 people,
70,000
right?
people
for goodness
just
sake.
Appear out of nowhere.
We make a city in the desert.
For how long?
For 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
I think the building actually happens over 2 months, and then the cleanup happens over a few months as well. So basically it's a gathering of people who would like to express themselves in any way they'd like. And it all centers around a large wooden man that they've built in the middle of the city. And then the week kind of culminates with the man burning. So it's really focused on the art. People bring sculptures and they set them up in the desert, and it's completely participant made. So there's no corporate anything. This is one of the cooler parts. There's no money.
No sponsorship.
No sponsorship. And once you enter the city, your money is no good. You cannot buy or sell anything. And it was very liberating to be able to go, and everything is a gifting economy.
You have to go in and have all your camping gear with you. You have to bring all your food with you.
Yes, you're self-sufficient.
And your own water, too.
Yes, your own water. So there's all they provide are kaibos. So there's no garbage. You do that all yourself.
What's a kaibo?
Oh, it's a porta-potty.
Porta-potty. Yeah. Okay.
It'd be nice not to have to stop to barter for that. So bless your heart.
It really wasn't bartering. People always say that, but it's more of a gift.
Giving.
You give something of yourself. I actually gave lemonade. I brought a lot of lemonade and I handed it out, and that was a welcome treat. And then you just accept gifts from other people. So it's not bartering, but it was wonderful to be around so many creative people. I'm sure it's going to help me with my jelly flavors.
Of course.
Breaking free and letting your mind wander. It was wonderful.
Of course. The idea of burning bonfires, gathering,
yes.
It's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
It's been going on for a while.
I think it's probably pretty multi-generational, because I can remember, 20 years ago, my friends started going, and they're probably still going.
Mm-hmm. Everyone you could imagine was there. All sorts
Wonderful.
Of people. Yeah, all you had to bring was an open heart. Well, and all the other stuff, too.
For camping and eating and all of that.
That sounds good. You're listening to KHOI, Community Radio. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. That was a little bit of Celtic mouth music. That was actually somebody singing all that stuff. Someone with a very, very wonderful sense of music, timing, and diction. Yes. That tune that he was diddling there was called the Temperance Reel. He started out as a reel, and if you were listening closely, he changed it to a jig tempo about halfway through. Pretty good. I'm impressed. I've always loved the tune Temperance Reel. I was calling a barn dance to that tune, and the fiddler at the time, this was quite a long time ago, leaned over and said, "Great tune. Bad concept." The fiddler did like his beer. Well, we're back. We're talking with Beth Kemp about jams and jellies. And we didn't want to get around to fruit butters.
Well, I just tasted Beth's apple butter, which is another process for plum butter, apple butter, pear butter. And basically, you take your jam and you make the texture really fine, mm-hmm. and I do mine really fine by putting it through my little food mill. Do you use a food mill, too?
I don't.
How do you get your fine texture, then?
I'll use I'm not sure what you call it, the apple peeler mm-hmm. little contraption that you can clamp to your counter.
Oh, really?
Where you turn the handle so it peels and slices.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I cook that, and then I actually puree that with an immersion blender. Oh, I'm all about the quick tips. I am. I love the. I love to make it as simple as possible.
Then try mine because it's even easier. I just split the apples in half. Basically, I throw them in with the seeds, the stems, the whole nine yards. Because then I'm going to put them through the food mill thing. And that takes out all the nasty bits, and it comes out very smooth. And then, well, you cook it first, and then you put it through the food mill. And then after that, and
so you
I
just made an applesauce, is what you've
basically
done. Basically. Yes, you made
and
an
I
applesauce.
Also season,
or fruit sauce.
Yes. And I also season in that applesauce stage. Like if I want to put in cinnamon or wine or basil or ginger or, you know, any old thing, or rose geranium. So I do it at that stage so that all the little bits come out when I run it through the food mill. Then I put it in my crock pot.
That's, I also use a crock pot.
Yeah, because fruit butters are a reduction process.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got your, it's like applesauce, so it's too loose for a fruit butter. So you just put it in the crock pot and on medium and low, and I just let it go overnight until it's down to a really thick.
Mm-hmm. So you're reducing and almost caramelizing the fruit, correct?
Uh-huh.
And that's why apple butter is dark like
that. Yes, yes, yes. And they don't need any pectins, and they don't need any thickeners if you're cooking them down enough.
That's how I can tell that the apple butter is ready. It turns, has this kind of black, not black crust, but really dark, dark, dark brown crust. It turns from applesauce looking to really nice and dark. Good
and
Christmas presents, folks.
Yeah, and the crock pot will keep it from burning, which is a really important thing. I mean, I tried once doing it over a stove. It was just impossible. I mean, I think maybe people might do it in the oven as well, but the crock pot is so easy. It just evaporates it down very smooth.
There are apple butter festivals, actually. People do get together, but that's a group of people taking responsibility for stirring a huge pot over a fire, as in they, as all the fun stuff that our grandmothers and great grandmothers used to do. I suppose if you do it as a group once a year, it's okay. But
yeah,
you can make apple butter that way too.
You would regulate the heat of the fire underneath it, and you would have to do a lot of stirring, and you would probably have those big, thick bottom cast iron kettles that are size of bathtubs and stuff like that.
It works. It works. I think jams and jellies are a fine addition to any kitchen. I hope you want to try something, or at least try some new flavors. The flavors that you come up with are just plain up to you.
The sky's the limit, folks. Remember what we said about the tyranny of the recipe. Make it up as you go along.
And share it with your friends.
And any of those spices and herbs won't change the consistency of the recipe. So you could take a strawberry jam recipe and add basil, add lavender, add wine, and you're not going to change the outcome. So don't be scared. That's like the tyranny of the recipe. Don't let it scare you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. If you're going to add alcohol, you do not it doesn't take much because you don't want to add too much liquid to it. And it can dominate the flavor really incredibly.
One thing I found is that when I add alcohol to my jam, I sometimes have to wait almost like a week for it to set up. That you're not, I'm like, is this too soft? And then it will set up. It takes it longer for some reason. I'm not sure what the science of that is.
I don't know either, but
we'll just keep trying.
Yeah.
We'll just keep trying. That's good. Thank you for being with us today, Beth. We had a good time here on the Donna Ronna
Kitchen. A delicious time.
Yeah. It was wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Good. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen on KHOI Radio with Lana Noctigal
and Donna Priskintas
and special guest Beth Kemp from Jumping Bean Farm. I'm going to go out with a music called the Valse Ronda by, again, the same person you've been listening to the whole time. It's fiddler and musician from Ireland, Kiernan Fay. We'd love to hear from you in the Donna Lana Kitchen. Contact us at khoifm@gmail.com. And check out the website, khoiradio.org. Listen to the Donna Lana Kitchen Tuesdays at noon and again at 7 p.m. And on the web. Tell your friends about this station. Support community radio. Eat good food and enjoy life.